Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You know, we need that power of the Holy Spirit because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we can't do anything that's lasting or significant. So if that's true in terms of personal evangelism, I'll tell you, it's also true in terms of what's going on in your family right now. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can't heal the wounds. Apart from Jesus, you can't bridge the gap. I'll tell you, apart from Jesus in your work life, you can do nothing. You know, how can you be a good witness on the job? Well, it's not up to you to get your life together and, you know, put a, you know, a few Christian tracts out there on your desk and, you know, have, you know, 15 Christian bumper stickers in the back of your car so everybody knows you're a believer. No, you know, it's living the Christian life. It's Jesus living his life out through you that is eventually going to cause people to go, wow, what's so different about you? You know, and it's all done so that God gets the glory. So this filling of the Spirit is absolutely essential. All right, great. How do you know you got it? How do you know you're really a Spirit-filled Christian? And I guarantee you, depending on the church you go to, you're going to get a lot of different answers to that question. But for our purpose tonight, let's just stick to the Word. Okay, what does the Word say about a truly Spirit-filled Christian? Verse 19 says, this is characteristic of an individual who is filled with the Spirit. And by the way, one other thing about being filled with the Spirit, this literally can be translated, be ye constantly being filled with the Spirit. This is not just talking about one experience you have at a camp, one experience you have at an afterglow, one experience that you have at a particularly, you know, really rocked out church meeting. It's talking about a day-by-day thing. Each and every day we need to ask for that filling of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens in our lives, a truly Spirit-filled Christian is going to be characterized in this way, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now notice there's some very important insights into what a Spirit-filled Christian is all about. Notice we are to speak to one another. Maybe this is the most basic thing we need to understand, is you can't be a Spirit-filled Christian in a vacuum. You can't be a Spirit-filled Christian just sitting up by yourself on the top of Mount Lemmon saying, well, you know, I'm just so tired of churches and all this other stuff. It's just going to be me and God up there, you know, because I'm just tired of all this hypocrisy and all the arguments and all the division in the church. You know, the story is told about a fellow who got shipwrecked. 10 years he was on this desert island, and because of that, kind of like Tom Hanks and his volleyball Wilson, he had to make a life for himself till he got rescued. And the people who finally rescued him said, man, this is a really pretty amazing little place you've built for yourself. He goes, yeah, you know, I was just forced to really think through things, and here, you know, this is my house, and this is where I slept. And over here, this was my art gallery, and I used this to display the coconut coverings. The carvings that I did, you know, to pass the time here on the island. And they say, oh, but there's these two buildings over here. What are these two buildings over here for? I go, well, this first building here, this is the church I attend every Sunday. And they said, oh, that's great. What's the second building over here? Well, that's the church I used to go to. You know, that's the problem with unspiritual people in church. You know, no matter where you go, you know, you are one. And I am one. And if we're looking for the perfect church, if you ever find one, as they say, please don't join it because you'll ruin the whole thing. So, you know, once again, a truly Spirit-filled Christian isn't trying to find the perfect set of circumstances so that every one of their needs is met. No, they're seeking to minister to other people. They receive this blessing from God and they want to share it. You know, it's such an important thing for us to understand, because a lot of times we fall into this kind of individualism. Maybe we've been burned by people before, and so we kind of, you know, back off, and we just become comfortable with a little handful of people that we've met before and so on. And, you know, we have our little routines. And if you don't think that's true, you know, find yourself in a place like, you know, our Sunday services are kind of filling up, and it's always a crack up to me to see when a service fills up and someone kind of gets there late and someone's sitting in their seat. No, you don't understand. This is where I always sit. This is my seat. How dare you take my seat? You know, and you just see this kind of frumpy, kind of angry attitude. I'm like, man, you know, if you're there because someone, you got this particular seat, I think you missed the whole point of being there. The whole point of being there is not to be bummed out that someone is in the seat, but to say to yourself, well, maybe God wants me to encourage that person. Imagine how different the church would be if you and I made it our business, before we leave the double doors or, you know, head on down the highway, to make sure that we have tried to encourage at least one other person before we leave. To encourage one other person, to say, can I pray for you? Just something as simple as that. Or you know, you see somebody, maybe they're a little isolated, a little alone. They don't seem to know. Just extending a hand of friendship and saying, hey, you know, I see you're new here. I've never introduced myself, or I just don't know your name. I'd like to be able to know you on a name-by-name basis. Boy, wouldn't that make a difference? Being filled with the Spirit doesn't cause you to need a rallying cry from the pulpit about, we need to be more friendly. Man, once the Holy Spirit fills your heart, you're going to be friendly. You know, Randy Stonehill, the famous Christian singer, said in this song called I Love You, he made me feel it. Now I can't conceal it. I love you. You know, that is really where the Lord wants us to be. Speaking to one another, not keeping blessings to ourselves, interacting with each other. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now notice the content of our speech with another. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, it's interesting. The more I studied this, this was one of those things where the more I studied, the more vague it became. You know, because there are certain people that think they've got these categories nailed down, but the more you do word studies and all of this, it's not that cut and dried. For our purpose here tonight, what's the difference between a psalm, a hymn, and a spiritual song? Well, a psalm is a psalm. You know, you go to the Psalms and you find Psalms there, you know, and when we speak to one another in Psalms, what Paul is saying is, man, you know, seek to find an encouraging word from God's word to share with somebody else. You know, it's not our words that change lives. It's the Lord's word that changes lives. God's word never returns void. My little takes, they return void all the time. If you want to make a long-term, lasting impact on somebody, share the word. Speak the word to them. Speak a psalm to them. Maybe a scripture that has meant a lot to you is in your life because someone else needs to know about that verse, and it may very well mean the world to them. You know, what scriptures have really blessed you this week? Man, share those scriptures to others. Speak to one another in psalms. Hymns carry the idea of a song that is useful for doctrinal instruction. You know, we think hymns, you know, hey, we're more over, you know, in the Calvary Chapel, Jesus Movement, man, we do choruses kind of a thing. But, you know, if you're not careful, you can find yourself singing hymns. You know, our worship set tonight, beautiful worship set. I just was thoroughly refreshed by the presence of God there. But our worship leader, Dave, will tell you that the vast majority of those songs were hymns. They were hymns. They are found in hymnals, believe it or not. And I think there's two equal and opposite errors we make with that. Some people become so enamored of hymnals that they feel like if something isn't in a hymnal, that it's not spiritual. And so, you know, if you don't have to blow the dust off a book before you sing something, it's not really godly. You know, and I think that's an error. The other side of it is to be so reactive towards hymns, that is, songs that actually teach you something doctrinally, that we're scared of them. You know, we're afraid that we're going to become one of those kind of churches. You know, every once in a while, You know, sometimes we have communion, sometimes just because I'm in the mood to do so, I'll show up here at church wearing a tie. And it's funny how kind of there's this reverse snob appeal in Calvary Chapel circles. You know, some churches you go to, if you're not wearing a tie, man, that's something, you know, like, but I see somebody here and they're wearing the suit and the jacket and the tie, kind of, newbie, you know, there you go. You know, and I mean, we go so far, it's like, kind of like one of those steakhouses where if you wear a tie, they cut it off and stick it on the ceiling kind of a thing. You know, and we're like, no, we're not into that. You know, we're not into all that formality and all that other stuff. Well, you know, I think that there's a place for that. If someone comes wearing a tie because they say, man, I'm going to dress up because, you know, I want to show proper respect for being in the presence of God, I think that's beautiful. Just whatever you decide to do, do it because it means something. If you decide to go casual because you want to break down those kind of stereotypes, make people feel more relaxed, you know, great. But every once in a while, I'll wear a tie, and people look at me, we're not becoming one of those tie churches, are we? Well, I guess this morning we are. So, you know, it's just we don't want to get to be old wineskins. We don't want to be people that are just in a tradition for tradition's sake. So, you know, as far as hymns are concerned, man, I just think it's awesome, you know, to be able to sing. You know, that song that we sang, you know, Be Thou My Vision, that is straight out of the hymnals, baby. But the wonderful thing about our worship leader, Dave, is that that bridge that he put into it, he wrote himself. And, you know, it's just a beautiful combination of a praise song and a hymn. And, you know, when you have a hymn, it's just wonderful how a song will stick in your brain. And before too long, heaven forbid, you've learned some doctrine. And that's a great thing to do. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The idea of a spiritual song is any kind of a song that denotes a spiritual lesson or communicates a spiritual experience. You know, I think of Chris Tomlin's song, Good, Good Father. Yeah, that's not really what I would call real deep theologically. You don't have to be a PhD in philosophy to figure out what he's talking about in that song, do you? But boy, you talk about a song that'll really rock your world when you allow it to enter into your heart. God, you're a good, good father, and I'm loved by you. That's who I am. Man, if you walk out of church just with those two things under your belt, you've gotten somewhere. So, again, remember something. When we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you know what I love about that? If you're speaking to people in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you're not going to be putting people down. You're not going to be using your tongue like a blunt instrument. You know, the wonderful thing about being filled with the Spirit, remember in John chapter 7 and verse 37, he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For the one who believes in me out of his innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. The thing I love about that is if you're filled with living water, it's awfully hard to burn people with living water, isn't it? It really is. And in this church, you know, there's people that are part of the problem, part of the solution. If you want to be part of the solution, just make sure, as far as it depends on you, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit just in a way that blesses you, but in such a way that blesses others. And as you do, boy, there's just these residual blessings that come from a truly Spirit-filled individual. Notice it says that we are to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. I love this because it says we can make melody in our heart to the Lord. And you should love it too because me personally, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And you know, it's been said there's three kinds of people in churches. There's people who can sing. There's people who can't sing and know it, like me. I sound like a wounded seal, so I keep it to myself. But you're also going to run into people in churches who can't sing and don't know it. Those are the toughest ones to end up like sitting in front of when it's all said and done. But the thing I love about this is that we are to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. You know, I don't have to inflict my voice on someone else to worship God during a time of singing. You know, I can keep my voice down, but I can be singing from the heart. And I know if I'm singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord, this wonderful thing happens that somewhere between here and heaven, because of the grace of God, he takes, you know, my songs that's singing that sounds like a bleeding sheep, half wounded, and transforms it into something that sounds like Pavarotti in heaven. Something that's beautiful in his eyes. Because that's what's going on in the heart. So again, we're to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. We have this heart-to-heart relationship with God. And you know, when you love anything, you know, it puts a song in your heart. It really does. You know, in any love relationship. And our love relationship with God shouldn't be different from that. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice it says that we are to give thanks for all things. You're not just going to have a consistent heart. We're going to give thanks always. But you're going to have a contented heart for all things. You know, a guy I think that really nailed this down was the Apostle Paul. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing from a dark, dank Roman prison. Now, most of the time when people write things from prison, it's kind of like Johnny Cash songs. You know, it's feeling sorry for myself and low down blues and Sunday morning coming down and things like that. But the Apostle Paul was cut out of a different cloth. In verse 10 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did not care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, that is to have nothing. I know how to abound, to have everything. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now notice, you know, this doesn't mean that the Apostle Paul says, I can leap tall buildings in a single bound because of Christ who strengthens me. No, what he's saying is, look, I'm able to be content in my set of circumstances because Jesus has given me the strength to do so. You know, it's not my circumstances that are making me content. It's not even how I feel about my circumstances making me content. It's the work of God within my heart. And I realize something here. You know, my being here is something that the Lord's using. You know, he talked about in Philippians, it's so funny. He says, man, you know, even in my chains, God's using me. I think it's awesome because Paul in prison in Rome would have a member of the Praetorian Guard chained to him on a regular basis. And, you know, I mean, they would do their shifts. And some guy would sit down next to Paul, put the shackles on next to him, and sit down and have to be there with Paul for 4 hours. Could you imagine Paul going, hey, buddy, let's talk about the Lord, you know? It was like a constant parade of men. 4 hours of down. Next person. You know, God used this circumstance for his glory. Now, you know, it's the classic example, you know, that your circumstances can make either bitter or better. And what Paul said is, because Christ gives me the strength in the midst of my circumstances, I'm not going to let my circumstances define me. I'm going to live above the level of my circumstances. And that's why we can give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for all things. I love this because when we are Spirit-filled, here's the bottom line. How can you recognize a Spirit-filled person? Let me tell you something. It's not because you have the gift of speaking in tongues. Some of the most sharp-tongued, some of the most irritable, some of the most touchy people I've ever run into outside of church have been the ones who have been so-called anointed with the Spirit inside the church. You know, the long and the short of it is, a truly Spirit-filled individual is going to be like Jesus Christ. And guess what? Jesus isn't a weirdo. Jesus doesn't call attention to himself through gyrations and weird practices and things like this. You know, I've told this story before, but not long after I got saved back in the Jesus movement, there was a Jesus person I knew. His name was Scott Singleton, and he was a quintessential saved hippie. And he had one of those kind of, you know, kind of white guy afros that was like out to there. You remember those? And the big mutton chop sideburns and the purple granny glasses and the leather fringed jacket and the bell-bottom pants and all that stuff. And I mean, he was just the most transformed. He was such a druggie before, and God had just changed his life so radically. And I remember one time this guy was saying, Singleton, you're just a Jesus freak. And Scott looked at him and said, dude, Jesus doesn't make people into freaks. He makes freaks into people. I love that. Because he's still about the business of making freaks like you and me into people. But that's what the Christian life is all about. You know, and you know, we go back to Moses and, you know, this amazing experience that Moses had on Mount Sinai. You know, being transformed by being in the presence of God. People couldn't even stand to look at him because he was shining with the glow of God. And we go, oh, you know, if only I could shine with God's presence like this. Here's the bottom line. You can. You can. By being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have to miraculously manifest that by having a glowing face, God will give you a glowing face. But how about this? How about God gives you a glowing life instead? How about if God gives you a love for people that they can't be contained? How about if God brings a stability and a sensibility to your life that is informed by practicing God's word, that people go, wow, you know, that person really seems to be wise. That person really seems to be in balance. That person really seems to be filled with love for others. Where do you get this love? Where do you get this peace? You see, that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about. And the beautiful thing is this. You don't have to go to a retreat. You don't have to go to a tarrying meeting. You don't have to read five books. You don't have to work yourself into a frenzy. All you have to do is ask for that filling of the Spirit, day by day, moment by moment, challenge by challenge. And here's the best news. God's going to answer that. Father, we come before you tonight, and we are so grateful for this gift of all gifts, the Holy Spirit. You're giving us not an it, you're giving us a you. You're giving us yourself, coming upon us in power to cause us to live a life that is different than people will ever see or understand. And God, I do pray that if we have settled for going through the motions or cultural conventions or learning to talk the Christian talk, that you would show us through the power of your Spirit the reality of a living, genuine relationship with you. That we would ask on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis for you to fill us with your Spirit and see the glorious results that come from this. Even right now, Lord, before we leave here tonight, we pray you would fill us with your Spirit. We pray that you would overflow us with your Spirit. We pray that we would not leave here tonight without the opportunity to encourage just one person as your Spirit works within us. And so demonstrate that you are the true and living God who genuinely loves his people. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. That's CalvaryChristianFellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.